Okay, we're back on track for right now. So, prophets. I wanted to spend more time on prophets, but I'm going to keep moving forward. So back to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 32 to 40. And so I'm going to take our lesson today, and we're going to actually split this lesson in two. We're going to finish it up next week. Okay? But we're going to start off on it. So let's read Hebrews 11, 32 through 40. And it says, "And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets," okay, "who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weaknesses were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and of scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented." Now, verse 38 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And you're like, "Why, you are weird, Bob." No. Because these people, of whom the world was not worthy, all these people that lived their life for the Lord, think about this, and we're in that list. The world's not worthy of us because we've lived our life for the Lord, just like these people. "Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report, through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." So those verses 39 and 40, there's a lot in those two verses, and you have to really stop and think about what they're saying there. But what I want to continue to look at is the effects of one man or one woman living their life for the Lord and obeying Him. Because that's what we're seeing. And so you have some bullet points here. And it says, first of all, kingdoms were subdued because the people obeyed what God said. So, since Mark wrote all over the backboard last week, I'm going to write all over it this week. So what kingdoms were subdued by any of these people? I'm going to ask you all. Crickets? What kingdoms were subdued because of faithful people in the Bible?
David's faith gave him victory like over the Ammonites.
Okay, so we'll just put David up here. How about before David?
How about Moses in Egypt?
Who's after Moses?
Joshua.
Joshua. What'd he do?
Nothing.
Did he not subdue a king? Yeah. So you got Moses, you got Joshua.
Well, God did. He just crossed the river.
You got David, you got Gideon, the list goes on, right? They subdued, kingdoms were subdued because of them. Okay, let's look at our next bullet point. It says, righteousness was wrought. Now, what does wrought mean? That means worked out. And so, 2 Timothy 2:15, who can tell me what that verse says?
Study
to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, right? We got to study the Bible. So, you know, for me, a lot of these words in here, I don't know. So you know what I got to do? I got to go study it out. And that's just a simple illustration. But I mean, that's just words we don't know. That's not talking about everything else. We need to be studying the words in the Bible, the principles in our Bible, the mysteries in the Bible, everything in this book we need to be studying. But it really starts with the words. And so when we don't know a word, get your dictionary out and look it up. Okay? I have a bad habit of going, oh, I think I know what that word is. But I don't always. I'm not that smart all the time, right? So anyway. That's true. So that's just a simple little illustration. But righteousness was worked out. Again, look at the prophets. The prophets would give the people God's word. When they obeyed Him, things were worked out. Righteousness came out. The next bullet point says, people obtained promises. So this is interesting. Let me erase this. So I'm hoping you guys can help me out. Name me somebody in the Old Testament that got a promise from God. Who else?
David.
Who?
David.
David, yes. Keep them coming.
Joshua.
Joshua. How about
Moses?
Okay. How about earlier? Way back there. Genesis.
Noah?
Noah?
No.
He got a promise from God.
How about Adam?
Adam and Eve got, both of them got a promise, right? What's Abraham's wife's name?
Sarah.
Did she get a promise?
Sarah.
We're going to call her Sarah.
As far as this goes, Satan got some promises too.
Well, that's true. That's true. But he's not on our list of faith. Okay, so Adam and Eve got so what promise did Adam and Eve get? God was going to send a seed from the woman, right, to bruise Satan's head. Is that not a promise? Okay. Abraham got a promise. What was his promise?
His seed would be nations forever.
Yeah,
that's true. What else was he promised? He was promised land, wasn't he? Sarah was promised what? A baby boy? David was promised what?
He's gone forever.
So, okay, specifically, he was promised that his seed, his sons, would sit on the throne of Israel, right? Forever. Interesting. You know, in the book of Ezekiel, we'll find out that David's going to be reigning in Israel. It's in two places. Go study that out. So, he'll be back at some point. Joshua's promised. That's a little harder. What was he promised?
That God would be with him. That he didn't have to be afraid. The same way that God was with Moses, that he was going to be with him.
Yes, both of those. God told him, says, there's not a man alive that will be able to stand before you. Remember that? So he goes, you go in there and you clean these guys out, and there won't be a man that will be able to stand up against you, basically, and win. Moses, Noah, what God promised him?
His family would survive.
Right. Also gave him the promise of the rainbow, right? A little different than what most people think today. But so all of these wasn't given the same promise, was he? Okay. But they were given promises. So, I'm going to give you guys some homework in a little bit. So I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'll keep moving. So, people obtained promises, okay? Because that's what it says, right? Let's go back and look. 11:33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and then the next one, stopped the mouths of lions. So, who in the Bible stopped the mouths of lions?
Daniel.
Is he the only one?
No.
David?
You got Judges. How about, we used to study this guy.
Samson.
So you got several people that fit that bill. Okay? I'm glad it's not any of us. Because like I said, you let that lion in here, it's not going to be good. Okay. So God stopped the mouths of lions. God quenched the violence of fire. Who would that apply to? Yeah, those three guys, right? I'm not going to write their name on the board, but you guys know who I'm talking about. Go ahead and write it. Okay. So you got those guys, and then people escape the edge of the sword. Who would that fit?
David
again.
All of the Jews when Daniel was the prophet. Because they were sentenced to be killed by Nebuchadnezzar. Right?
Okay, yes.
They all escaped the edge of the sword.
Yes, you're right. Because they... Yes.
Right.
So if we start looking, we'll find several. And so... people escaped the edge of the sword. And it says, out of weakness, people were made strong. Okay? As weakness a blank? Do you have that in yours? Out of weakness, people were made strong. Who in the Old Testament was weak and they ended up, God gave them strength?
It's like Gideon.
Gideon. Okay. Gideon's kind of like the poster child. He hits a lot of these. And yet, he's just one of them.
Samson,
he's just, God gave him supernatural strength, so he was just left to himself, would not have had that strength. And so, and then the next line says, people waxed, they became valiant in fight. Again, I'm thinking of Gideon, but yet, all of ones, Barak would fit that, Jephthah would fit that, David would fit that. Joshua would fit that. All these people have been reading out of, they became valiant in fight. And then you had all of David's mighty men. And, if you go back and look at those, they were rated in different sections. And some of those guys were like, you talk about he-men, they were like he-men. Okay? And so, yes, and God brought them up. They became valiant in fight. And fight, and people turned the opposing armies to flight, and women received their dead raised to life. There's two people in the Old Testament in the book of Kings. 1 Kings 17. Let's go back and look at this. 1 Kings 17. 22. It's the story of Elijah. Verse 22 says, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And here's what the woman says. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Okay. Well, so there's two times that women had their child raised back to life. But let's think about New Testament. Who in the New Testament would fit the bill here? Women received their dead raised to life.
Lazarus.
Okay. So you got Mary and Martha. They would be the women. They received their dead raised to life. Okay, that would definitely fit them.
What about Mary, the mother of Jesus?
Yes? That would fit. Our next bullet point said, people were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Ooh, now, what I want to show you here is this list is going to switch over to the New Testament. But before it does, but not only that, it gets into the church age. And if we really get farther, it would even get into the tribulation period. And so what we're seeing here is all of God's faithful people kind of in this list. People were tortured not accepting deliverance. Why? Because they didn't recant. Recant goes in your blank. They were looking to the future. Okay. Let's go back and see where this is. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. That would fit all the people from the early church that was being hunted down and killed by the Catholic Church. Because if they would recant, they would live, but they didn't. And so now we're just kind of changing over from just not just New Testament. We saw Lazarus a minute ago, Jesus. So the New Testament got in the mix here, but we're seeing it go a little farther.
I would say Stephen is a very good example of all of this.
Yes. Yes, and his name will come up here in a minute. So now we're spilling over, even up into the church age. They endured cruel mockings and scourgings. Well, who would that fit? Paul, Silas, and the list goes on and on, all the way up to all the and even the church age, all the way up to us, would fit that group. Cruel mockings and scourgings. They endured bonds and imprisonment. Again, you could go back and say, well, Jeremiah in the Old Testament, Paul and Silas in the New Testament, and then you can go up into all the people that Jim Alter was talking about with the history of our King James Bible. Tyndale would fit this list.
Peter was imprisoned too.
Peter was imprisoned? Yeah, so you've got a lot of different people on this list. Even preachers today are put in jail because of preaching the gospel. Okay? They endured bonds and imprisonment. And then they were stoned. So who did we say was stoned? Stephen would fit that list. Paul was stoned. How about somebody in the Old Testament? Who was stoned in the Old Testament? Probably several if we really dig through it, but I'll give you a hint. This man owned a vineyard. And he dealt with a mean, nasty woman. Naboth. Remember, he owned a vineyard and he wouldn't sell it. And Jezebel goes, did I say Jezebel? Yes, I thought maybe I said Hillary. Jezebel. Jezebel, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. I'm a little prejudiced.
That was good. That was good.
But I've said stuff like this before, but actually put the name in there to start with. I'm like, oh, okay, no, that's not the name. Because that's what I think of when I think of Jezebel. But Jezebel's like, I'll get this for you. Don't worry. So she goes and bribes a guy. And Naboth is taken out and he is stoned. He's killed. Okay. Let's keep moving on here.
She hired false witnesses, didn't
she? She did. It says these people, next bullet point, they were sawn asunder. That means apart. I can't find anybody in the Bible. Now there is, Jewish tradition says that Jeremiah was put in a log and sawed into. I don't know. But it says here they were sawn asunder. Or apart, that's what that means. So somebody was, because they have it right here. They were tempted. Now how were they tempted? They were tempted when they were asked to recant. So again, that's Baptist history. They were told to stop living for Christ. And there was two reasons why. Number one, their life was threatened that if you don't stop preaching the gospel, or if you don't stop doing what you're doing, we're going to kill you. But you know, we're also tempted by our own flesh when our flesh goes, you know, it's just too hard to live the way you're living, Bob. you need to just cool it, you know. Sunday mornings would be nice. You can just take it easy, stay at home, watch TV, you know, go play golf, go fishing. It's just too hard sometimes. You know, it, when you're here and you're cleaning the bathrooms, you go, why am I always the one stuck cleaning the toilets? Why am I doing this? I think I'm just going to stop because it's just, you know, nobody sees it. Well, God does. So we're tempted all the time with our flesh for doing things when we think, what's the point? But yet, so we can be tempted by our flesh. We could be tempted by other people to recant and do what's right and do whatever. But these people, again, they were tempted. They were slain with the sword. Oh, my goodness. That goes through the whole Bible. And in fact, in the tribulation, if you do not endure to the end, and you don't take that mark, what's going to happen to you? You're going to get your head chopped off by a sword. It runs through the whole Bible. They were slain with the sword. They wandered, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented in deserts, mountains, dens, and caves. Well, I would say that's probably Old Testament. That's probably New Testament. It's definitely church age. And it will definitely be tribulation. Yeah. It is. So there are people hiding. You're in different countries right now. They find out you're a Christian, you're dead. And they'll probably cut your head off with a sword. So I have the next phrase here. The world was not worthy. So when we live our life for the Lord, Bible here, God is saying, you know what, guys? The world's not worthy of you living your life for me. He goes, they're not worth it. But yet, I don't want to say it in the wrong way. The point I'm trying to make is these people live their lives for the Lord. It costs them dearly, and the people that rejected them really wasn't worthy of what these people had to go through. Okay? So, now we're getting down to towards the end of it. These people, let's get back to where we're at. Hebrews 11 says, and these all, having obtained a good report. Now, hold your finger here. Go back to chapter 11, verse 2. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, of the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. You know, there's a such thing as the judgment seat of Christ. That's where we're going to get our report card, is right then. These people, by faith, lived their lives for the Lord, and they got a good report. When we stand before God, hopefully we will get a good report if we've lived our life for the Lord. Okay? So that all ties together. Okay? But here's the next verse here. The next part of that verse. Let me read it again. And these all these people. So we've got Old Testament. We've got Gospels. We've got New Testament. We've got church age. We've got tribulation. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Wait a minute. What promise? Which promise are we talking about? So here's your homework. And I don't give a lot of homework out, but I want to come back and talk about this next week. So here's what I want you to see. You've got two or three blanks you can fill out. Okay? What promise did they not receive? What promise did the Old Testament saints not receive? Okay? Part one. Part two. What part of the New Testament saints, what promise have they not received? And then number three. Tribulation saints, what promise have they not received? Now, I know we're not there yet, but I mean, what they have to endure to the end to get this promise. So those are the three questions I want you to think about this week. Go back and study them out. What promises did the Old Testament people not get? What promises have we not gotten? And what promises has the tribulation saint going through the tribulation not received? And then we'll come back and talk about this next week. Okay? So I'm trying to stretch us a little bit here. All right, let's pray and we'll get going. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. I pray, I just pray for all the Bible that goes on in this church from D1, D2, HBI, our adult Bible hours, main service to Wednesday night Bible service, Lord. I pray that we'd be diligent in reading your word, studying your word, and learning from it and trying to live it out in our lives. So I pray for that today. Give us a good rest of our day. Pray for Brian as he brings us the main message. Give us the ears to hear what he says. Help us to stay focused, and Lord, just help us to leave this place, blessing you, thanking you, and going out and living for you. In Christ's name, amen.